So I just want to share a few verses with you this morning. I was meditating. Obviously, it's Easter Sunday, and just thinking of a few different passages as I was having some quiet time this morning. And as I read a few of them, there was something in particular that really gripped me, and I just wanted to share that with you. And I've just even still been meditating on it, so perhaps it could be something that could spur some conversation in our time of fellowship afterwards. But we go back to Genesis in the very beginning of it all, where the Lord commanded Adam in Genesis chapter 2. He said to them, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And we know that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of that tree, and since that time, sin entered the world and death came with sin. And I was just meditating on that because I read a couple passages in the New Testament, which we're all familiar with probably, but I just want to touch on them. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 2, if you want to flip there, it was interesting to me because oftentimes I think of the cross, and even if I was to explain Easter or the Jesus' death and resurrection to my children, I say to them, which are true things, I say to them that he died to bear the penalty of our sin. He bore all of the world's sin and sickness on the cross, and that he rose again. That, and you know, there's so many, he's alive today. He's a living God that we can have a relationship with, that intercedes for us. He's there to help us. He's a refuge for us, all those things. But as I read, there was something here that I was just meditating on. So in Hebrews chapter 2, I think it's 14 or 15. I don't actually have the reference in front of it, but I'm going to read it for you. It says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For surely he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted, and that which he has suffered, he's able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." So let's go back. He says that through death, he rendered powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And I was just thinking about that this morning, that through Jesus Christ's death, and it's a statement, if someone had said to me, it's true, it said it to me, I would say, yeah. But when I really began to meditate on it, it was encouraging and challenging for me this morning. Do I live my life always knowing that I serve a risen Savior and a defeated enemy? And I was challenged by that. I'm not sure necessarily that I always live my life that way. When I think of the fact that Satan was completely defeated on the cross, and if in Colossians 2, it says it slightly differently, but in a similar way, again, the story of the death and resurrection, but here he says, I'm going to flip there. I'll tell you exactly where I'm starting. Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is head over all rule and authority, and in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision mean without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead," here's that death, right? "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh and your sin," I'll add, "he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him," through Christ. So here we see, in Hebrews chapter 2, we see the author just reminding us that Jesus Christ in his death defeated death and Satan. And here we see that he disarmed the rulers and the authorities. And there's other passages talking about how the whole world still lies under the sway of the wicked one. But when we come to Christ through faith, we receive forgiveness of sins. And by faith, when we are united with him in the likeness of his death, then we can also, meaning we're dying to our own will. We talk about this often, but just say it again. We're dying to our own will and all of our own desires, our hopes, our plans, and just surrendering it all to Jesus Christ. We become a partaker by faith in his resurrection life. But when we do that, we enter into a life of victory. This is the life that he has for us, is a life of victory, where we don't have to live a defeated life anymore, because we are now partakers with Christ in this victory that he obtained over the devil. And all of these things, just as a simple reminder, I was thinking about it, but all of these things are available by faith in Jesus Christ. If we go back to the very simplest of passages, or, you know, it says here in John 3, this familiar passage, I'm going to start just in 14 instead of 16. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Remember that story from the Old Testament where the serpents came in because of sin in the camp. They came in and the serpent was biting people and they were dying. And yet when God put it in, told Moses, take a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole so it looked like a cross there with a serpent across it. And when people look at that, then they can be saved from this death of the serpent. It was such a picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us, which is why Jesus references it when he's talking to Nicodemus here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So believing in Jesus Christ, the same way that they needed to have faith to look at that bronze serpent, believe the words of Moses, when we believe the words of Jesus Christ and his word and look to the cross, we can have victory, but we can enter into a life where a victory over Satan. And I was just meditating on that, and it's an amazing thought. He's forgiven me my sins, and I can be so grateful. I was meditating on that this morning, the gratefulness I have in my heart, thinking where God took me from, the life that I lived, the selfish life that I lived, full of sin and disobedience to God, that in his mercy he forgave. An amazing thought, but not just that he forgave my sins, but now that I don't have to be bound by sin, that the chain of sin is broken and the death that comes with it. Although we all can think back, I can think back to living in my life of sin and the hell. It's hell. It's pleasurable, it says, for a moment, but the reality is the wages of sin is death, and it is death. But by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection life, we can be free from that death. And we can live now in victory over sin, in victory over the devil, not by our own strength, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thought. It's simple, but I just want to remind you of it this morning, that if we go back to this familiar passage in Romans 8, I'm just going to wrap up with this thought here and pass it over to Andrew to just share for a few minutes as well. But in Romans 8, it says, this is such a familiar verse, but it's so encouraging. Speaking of in verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who is the one who justifies? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. So we have power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul said he prayed that the Ephesians would know what is the hope of the calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saint, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to overcome sin, to overcome discouragement, to overcome despair or depression, to overcome whatever the enemy brings. There's power there in Jesus Christ that by faith, as we humble ourselves and come humbly and broken to him, we can lay hold of that grace in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And you know what? We may not see it today. Maybe we look and say, Lord, I'm crying out, I'm praying, I'm desiring that power in my life. I'm desiring that victory in my life. Let us not lose heart, but let us continue to press on and cry out, Jesus Christ, I need your power. Fill me afresh, fill me anew with your Holy Spirit, that I could walk in that resurrection power, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Amazing what is available in him. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, Paul testified that he overwhelmingly conquered through Jesus Christ, and that same victory is available to us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, things to come, powers, anything, height, depth, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I just want to encourage you this morning with those thoughts, the power that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's meditate on that. The fact that he defeated death, the devil, all rulers and authorities, everything were disarmed at the cross of Jesus Christ. And that we can walk in that victory. We can walk in that abundant life through faith. Faith is the victory. And so as we just encourage one another, build one another, get into his word and allow him to build our faith through his word and just stand on the word of God, the mighty sword that he gives us to defeat the enemy. Wow, what a hope, what a promise, what promises and what victory is available in Jesus Christ. So I encourage you with that this morning.